I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Overnight, the NTSB gaining access to preliminary data from the Voyage Data Recorder, the agency hearing audio, which hasn't been released yet, from the ship's bridge, detailing the moments before that catastrophic collision. The lights on the ship going dark at 1:24 a.m., alarms then ringing out seconds later. Within minutes, the two pilots calling steering orders, radioing for tugboats to assist, and dropping the ship's port anchor, then issuing that mayday call.
It's just utter devastation.
The NTSB aboard the ship Wednesday, finding 764 tons of hazardous materials.
Mostly corrosives, flammables, and some miscellaneous hazardous materials. Some of the hazmat containers were breached. We have seen sheen on the waterway.
And after more than a day of treacherous searching, divers recovering a red pickup truck, two victims found inside.
And that's two victims they've found. The number will be changing. They're still not sure how many went into the water. That's based upon the construction crew that was there and others who might have been in the vicinity. Immediately after the pilot of the ship had radioed a mayday and then he was facing possibly hitting the bridge, police began shutting down entrances to the bridge because it's midway through. Folks would be on the roadway and going down. All of a sudden, they realize the bridge is gone and they're sliding toward the water. So they got warning out to stop traffic from entering either side. But there's still the tragedies. And there are a lot of questions around this. One of the issues, of course, involves paying for it. And, of course, that's coming down the road in addition to finding out exactly what happened with the ship. The black box has been recovered. Yes, they have a black box just like commercial airliners do, so they can look at it, check the speed, direction, what was working, what wasn't. And that's going to be a crucial part of the investigation. I'll need to break this down for you in more detail because there are a lot of things that you need to have an understanding. This is a tragedy, obviously, involving directly Baltimore, but it also should sound a signal for the rest of the nation and large vessels that come near bridges or any bridge construction itself, which brings us to the point that our infrastructure in this nation is in bad shape in many ways. And that did not contribute, it appears, in any way to this collision, obviously, or the resulting consequences. But it should have us reassessing not only those crossing over waterways, but overpasses and everything else, but then it's going to get down to money. Well, I guess the government can print more money. We do it for other countries, not for us. And at the same time, it's state and federal dollars, which brings up the question about Joe Biden stating yesterday, well, the federal tax dollars are paid for rebuilding it. Wait just a moment before we jump down that road. Glad to have you on board. Here we are in the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back and reminding you when we're on the air with you, we are also streaming video at Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, either audio or video, you want to go back and play it anyway because you heard it but you didn't get it exactly, or you want to share it with others, always encourage you to share. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or, of course, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So here we are, March 28th, and this is after this bridge collision, and we're still trying to get more details on it. One thing that had come forward in looking at this, there were warnings given because the captain realized he no longer had control of his ship, and there were indications even from video the lights on the ship were on, off, and maybe they were trying to get them back on, and even smoke puffing from the diesel engines right before the collision, like maybe they get to a chance, maybe where they could get a restart. A lot of that's yet to be determined. And not just on the black box, but interviews with the captain and those on board. The only thing I have that I've yet to hear asked I think this is a critical point for those who were on the bridge. It's early morning, 1 plus a.m., so thank God there's not a lot of traffic, not rush hour traffic. So the ship captain has lost control. He sent out a mayday. He notifies the Coast Guard and others. They, in turn, are notifying police and authorities. But I've yet to hear anyone say or ask, did the ship hit the horn? These freighters have massive horns. When they realize they might be approaching something and they're going to collide with it, first rule, hit the horn. Sound it loudly, often. If they did everything else right and they did not sound the horn, I'm not saying they didn't. I just haven't heard anybody address it and state, yes, the horn was sounding clearly. Then those men who died on that bridge might have had a chance to run. Now, which way would be a determining factor if it's going to save them and how fast. But if you hear a horn blaring at that time of morning, you don't have a lot of traffic running by, there's not a lot of other noise. I don't think you would have missed it, but I was not there. But if they'd had that kind of warning, in addition to the warning to the Coast Guard and the police to shut down the bridge and it might be a collision, the guys on the bridge did not know. In fact, only until one of the officers came close to some of them working at another part, said, you need to get off, did he realize there was a threat. So that tells me again that the horn was never blasting. Now, I'm not trying to second guess. I'm just asking the question. There are a lot of facts still coming together on it. This cargo ship Dali, and you also heard mentioned in that news report that some hazardous containers were broken open, so they had a sheen on the water. Not clear exactly what kind of material, an oil based of some type, if it's floating on the water, but exactly what it is hasn't been notified at this point. But the cargo ship Dali is roughly the size, if this helps you get some reference, the Eiffel Tower, if you've ever been in France. I know you've seen pictures of it. So the tallest part of it is about that size. It wasn't the top part of the ship that hit the bridge. It was the bow. Hit right into one of the structures supporting the bridge at midway. And the ship is, again, something like two-thirds the size of the Empire State Building. But that's just reference to the size from keel to the top, and that doesn't mean anything since it didn't hit at the top structure of the ship causing the collapse. What I am looking at is I look closer, and obviously I encourage you to consider the all things, even if you're not nautically minded, and I'm not. I'm more aeronautically, but at the same time, when you get something like this, you want to know exactly what do we do to prevent something like this from happening again. This particular ship is 980 feet long, had a capacity, full capacity, something like, it's 95,000 tons without anything on board. And then with the boat loaded, apparently it was around 120,000 tons. It is Singapore flagged. It has had some couple other incidents, but nothing that was a major structural damage. And not sure if it had been recently inspected, but it had had numerous other issues. Now, these ships are up and down our waterways and in and out of our ports on a regular basis. And yes, I think we do need to verify again that all these ships are being properly inspected. Now, reference to who's going to pay for this thing, I want to share this information with you. This is going back to paying for it. They're estimating, according to some analysts looking at it, a complicated years-long mess, because they're stating the crash into the Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge will lead to billions of dollars in liability claims. Now, we're not talking about, of course, just those who died or even were threatened and may have trauma thereafter if they didn't, or their families. But marine insurance companies will be on the hook for most of the cost. So the claim that the first claims out are that This has a potential to be north of $1 billion. That's according to the president of the American Institute of Marine Underwaters. He said litigation will then run years. It is insured, as all of them should be, but is insured by a Singapore-based company, which is in turn insured by the Britannica Protection and Identity Club. Britannica is one of the dozen marine insurer member clubs and an international group that basically deals with marine liability for 90% of ocean freight, such claims and things of that nature. And then again, there's another backer for those. There's something like 80 different reinsurers helping provide $3 billion in coverage to the Dali's insurers. That's according to Moody's analyst. So when you start talking about losses of a billion or more, according to this expert, it's going to be spread throughout the whole global reinsurance market. So ships are going to be having to pay more for their insurance because of this. That's not uncommon in any insurance industry, particularly if you live in an area where you're often hit by hurricanes, and your hurricane insurance, if you get it, goes up. Now, Joe Biden yesterday said the federal dollars, we'll rebuild it with federal dollars. Now, I don't think so, because we don't really need federal dollars at this point, although if it's going to be interstate-type commerce of any type, as that bridge would be, not interstate, but even intrastate, federal and state dollars would be brought in. Then, of course, we have the issue of still trying to find those who are missing. This CNN report.
Given Baltimore's harbor has these frigid waters, fast-moving tides, and now these huge pieces of steel and concrete submerged in the water, I mean, how massive is this undertaking?
It's going to be huge. It's going to take quite a while for the divers to cover the entire area as thoroughly as they feel like they need to. Even with the new methods and techniques with side-scan sonar, most of the dive recovery is going to be tactile. It's going to be with the divers swimming inch by inch along that concrete and steel debris that's on the bottom.
So it's an inch-by-inch search. And how long it's going to take to make sure they've found everyone, because you got this massive wreckage of steel in the water. There is a Florida congressman, Republican, I'll point out a Republican, that apparently tweeted after this saying, DEI did this. I haven't had a chance to look at full details of how and where he reached that, but DEI is obviously talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we are aware and should be aware that DEI has forced safety changes in some areas because they're not hiring the best person. We're trying to be diverse, equitable, and inclusive. I don't know that it had anything to do with this ship itself, but you can't blame, because a couple of those on the bridge might be migrants, you cannot blame them and that DEI program. They went to their death. It's not built over DEI. But Joy Reid, MSNBC, using it as a perfect example to play the race card. That'll be coming up before we wrap up this hour. On another point, squatters taking over someone's house is becoming more often, and they feel protected. They feel protected because evicting a squatter can take time, and they know it. So once they're inside, just good luck getting them out. Florida has a new program, and Missouri State Senator Bill Igo discussed what needs to be done on the Mike Ferguson show earlier today.
We were talking a little bit earlier about what happened in Florida with the legislature and Governor DeSantis signing this, you know, what I would call a true property rights bill, anti-squatters bill into place, to saying, you know what, we're not going to make people go through the civil courts and all this kind of stuff. So I had somebody sending me a message saying, hey, could you ask Bill Igel, would you be supportive, and is there an appetite in the Missouri legislature at some point to say, let's do what Florida did and hit this squatters thing head on, especially now that since we've got, you know, this illegal immigrant viral video that's out there saying, hey, squatters' rights laws make it easy to commandeer property. Go do it.
Yeah, so great question. And so first of all, my answer, would I support something like that? Yes, 110% I would support something like that. In fact, I'm going to actually be working to get the exact same language that Florida just passed, and we're going to see if we can't find a vehicle in the final 7 weeks of session to add that to a bill to see if we can't get that done as well.
That'd be a good idea, because it's going to continue to increase in any locale, any state. People see you leave on a vacation, and you may have cameras, but they see you leave, the house is vacant, maybe they watch it a couple of days, and they thought, you know what, we can just move in there. And they do. Now, they will break in to move in, but when you come back from your vacation, you got people in your house you didn't invite in. You can call the police, threaten trespassing, and get them evicted, but if you're away for a long time, or you're basically on a travel trip or anything of that nature, and again, it would depend on state to state and everything else as to how many days you're away that you don't actually, quote, physically occupy the property, then they can claim that they have as much right, if not more than you. So we need to address it. And speaking of housing, the housing market, what's about to happen to it? It's going to be very interesting. Now, this is interesting if you're going to buy a home or you're going to sell a home. Or if you're financing. Barbara Corcoran is a member of the Shark Tank production. You've seen her before. She represents a corporate, she is the founder, I should say, of the Corcoran Group. She was on with Neil Cavuto on Coast to Coast yesterday, and she started talking about what's happening with the housing market. Let's begin by pointing out to you that the Fed has now decided to leave interest rates unchanged for the fifth straight time, in its latest meeting. But they do clarify they plan to cut rates. They may be pushed out further, but for right now, the Fed is looking at 3 rate cuts between now, as I speak, and the end of the year. 3 cuts. And Barbara Corcoran says, there is going to be a tsunami.
The cost of housing, I believe, will go up because it has been going up. It's been going up for the last 5 years, despite the dire state of the shortage of houses. So house prices have gone up 6% this year alone. But the real deal is there's not enough houses to go around. There's probably 5 buyers for every house out there.
Is that right?
There are probably 10 buyers on the sidelines waiting for interest rates to come down that are actually active in the market. So everybody's going to charge the market. And so if you wait for interest rates to come down by another point, I don't think you'll gain. I think you'll wind up paying more, because I wouldn't be surprised if real estate went up by another 8 or 10% if interest rates come down another full point. I know it sounds crazy, but there's a magic number that makes people get all juicy about.
Yeah.
And it just has to slide down there for everybody to say, let's get out there and take advantage of it.
Take advantage of it. And the key here would be, maybe if you can't afford it, if you're able, you jump on a piece of property you want now, because there'd be fewer that are willing to compete for it. But the rates drop down more, more folks might be rushing in. So now you're competing with others. I'm not a financial wizard and expert, but I have Homestead Financial on as one of my sponsors and previously. And we've talked about this, that if you can make it work, probably should get in a house now. Then when the rates change, you refi. You got the house you wanted. You don't have to compete for others at a higher price. Lower interest rates, but a higher price. Coming up in the next segment, the Republican National Committee, and according to an article in the Federalist, is actually going to be responsible for the 2020 election, and maybe they're not ready. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
For us, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And, of course, we've had a big shakeup at the RNC, as you all know. Trump has his people in place, including a daughter-in-law. So, you know, he's got a good handle on it, he thinks. But the other question still remains, is the RNC ready for the election coming up? And therein lies a story as printed by the Federalist today. And the author is one of the political correspondents for the Federalist. And I want to break down some of the, what she had in this article. Brianna Lyman, glad to have you on board with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I read basically at the very top, let's just put a thumbnail in that to begin with. I mean, a thumbtack to really pin it down in the sense that you're suggesting that the RNC is not really ready for this election.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say they're not ready for the election. I would say that the change-up that we've seen at the top leadership levels is a good indication that they are making themselves as ready as ever. And I think part of, you know, the article I wrote on, they're allegedly asking people, what do you think about the 2020 election? And that is the first step for Republicans to win, because this is about competency. If you cannot acknowledge that 2020 had severe flaws, right, of the legislatures were getting usurped by people who weren't even elected, right? These are people who were appointed by Democrats, and they took the legislature and they said, we don't care what you say, we're putting our own laws in. If you can't recognize that and you don't understand that, there is no possible way you can help the RNC win, because you don't know where to start fixing things.
You know, I have in the second hour for the audience, give them a heads up on it as well. Leslie Stahl recently did an interview with one of the big tech supposed monitors is keeping the election information free and getting rid of disinformation. And part of it involved interviewing Congressman Jordan of Ohio, and they kind of get into a spat because he's saying, you know, obviously we had some misconceptions or things weren't done right in 2020. And she's saying, Leslie Stahl, no, people believe it. They believe it. It was fair. And he said, no one really believes it was fair, top to bottom. How's that playing?
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point. I think that people who believe that the 2020 election was fair in the sense that it was an even playing field are either naive or they're deliberately shutting their eyes to it. Because if you look at what happened in the trenches in 2020, right, and I think Pennsylvania is a great example. Kathy Buchbar, she was the Secretary of State, and she decided that she was going to count late mail-in ballots that lacked a postmark, they didn't have a date, they had no signature. These are things that violated Pennsylvania state law. And the Supreme Court said, look, we're not going to expedite the case before the election based on the understanding that Kathy Buchbar would take any late ballots that, you know, didn't fit state law and put them aside, right? And then they would count them if the Supreme Court stepped in. And at first she complied. And then, I think it was 3 days before the election, she updates her guidance and says, look, we'll segregate the ballots, but we're still going to count them towards the total. And she was rebuked for this. And if you can look at that, if you can see that piece of evidence and say, well, it's still even, it's still a fair playing field, Kathy Buchbar was not elected. She was appointed by a Democrat, right? This is a Democrat who said to the legislature, even though you were elected to govern elections, I'm stepping in, I'm taking over, I'm not listening to what the constituents want, and we're going to do things my way. And if you can't acknowledge that, then either you haven't been paying attention or you deliberately don't want people to know what happened.
All right, I agree fully with you, and that raises another issue. I want to go down this road before I tack back to the main subject. I'm looking at a piece someone sent me and pointing out France banned mail-in voting in 1975 due to fraud. Mexico banned mail-in frauding in 1992 due to fraud. Belgium banned online mail-in voting 2018 due to fraud. Sweden does not permit mail-in voting. Italy does not permit it. Japan does not permit it. Russia does not. No Middle Eastern country allows mail-in voting. No Latin country permits mail-in. Do we start with that and say you can't have massive? Now, COVID, of course, it was a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm for turning out good for Biden. Well, first of all, the Hunter laptop story got covered. Then we had COVID. And then folks were more than willing to go out and buy gas and maybe go to their grocery store, but just too desperate and dangerous to walk in and vote.
Right, right. They were able to capitalize on a what was blown out of proportion health emergency in order to push these policies that they knew. And if you go back in 2020, they were setting the stage. Okay, there was a covert operation, and I believe it was Time Magazine. They actually wrote about this operation. They said, look, Trump got smeared for saying this was happening, but it did happen. Okay, and what happened was you had Democratic operatives who essentially massaged the network, right, the left-wing corporate media, so that they would convince their voters not to expect a final election day result on election day, right? It was, oh, well, it might take 2 weeks for the mail-in ballots. So people were already prepared that we wouldn't know the results. So when mail-in ballots then came flooding in the middle of the night, right, and everything started to change, people were already under the perception that this is normal, this is okay, because this is part of the process. That's not normal, and it's not okay. And if you look what happened this week in Chicago, the race for the Cook County state attorney, it's still not called. Yeah. Because you had a tough on crime Democrat who was up in the race, and now her margin has shrunk. I think it's less than 2,000 votes because, miraculously, the county forgot to count 10,000 ballots.
Oh, they my God. They just dropped. They dropped to the cracks, Brianna. You're making a big deal out of it.
No, the best part is they go, oh, well, we forgot about them, but don't worry. We kept them safe. So you knew that they were safe, but you didn't know they were there to count. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, to that extent, in your piece, again, we're telling Brianna Lynn that reference to Federalist, she's their political correspondent, and you wrote that, citing unnamed sources, the Washington Post reported, and this is back to the RNC where we started, reported that job applications or job applicants at the RNC have been questioned about whether they believe the 2020 election was stolen. The Post acknowledged the questions were open-ended, then tried to spin the story as demanding fealty to President Trump, that you'll bow down and follow everything Trump wants. What's the reality?
Yeah, the reality of that is that because the Democrats have begun a campaign where they use semantics, right? So they say Republicans are a threat to democracy, right? They are MAGA extremists. If you believe and you acknowledge that there were problems in the 2020 election, right? And look, they were legitimate, tangible issues, right?
They were legit. I mean, that's still short of saying the election was stolen, but yes, they had issues.
Exactly. And the RNC isn't saying you have to say, oh, the election was maliciously stolen. But you could say, look, the election, Joe Biden won the election, but he won it because the game was changed before the final.
Right.
And Molly, my editor, she's Molly Hemingway. She wrote an amazing book. Everyone should read it, Rigged.
Right.
Where she describes what actually happened. And you have the left-wing media. They want to push this narrative that the RNC is saying, oh, the election has to be stolen to work there. Because that's how they convince voters that the Republicans are these extremists who are election deniers. They're not election deniers. We're saying, do you know what happened to the laws on the books in 2020? And if you can't answer that question or you say, oh, I don't believe that that was a problem, you do not deserve to be working towards a Republican win because you won't help us.
Yeah, and I'm afraid then you end up with some of the Republicans we have that claim they were Republicans and going to stand for conservative values. Once they get in, they get very weak-kneed.
Yeah, they do. I mean, think of people like Gallagher, right, in Wisconsin. I mean, what kind of spineless Republican is that, that he decides he's not going to run for re-election but won't leave office in time for a special race to be called, right? He's threatening the Republicans' already narrow majority, but he calls himself a Republican. And that's the people that we're dealing with in the Republican Party. People wonder why Republican voters are so dissatisfied, why there's a turnout problem, why the enthusiasm levels for younger voters tend to go towards Democrats, because they're targeting them day in and day out, whereas Republicans sit on their hands, do nothing, and then leave office because they want to screw over some of their colleagues, when really they're screwing over their constituents and the American public.
And we forget, or they want to forget anyway, that Hillary Clinton and her electors were challenging the count when she lost to Trump. And it's not the first time Democrats had demanded something's not right here.
Right. Everyone else can question the results of the election. I mean, Democrats, they still can't get over the fact that they lost 2000, right? They only lost 2000 because the Supreme Court stepped in and ruined it for them, right? Not any other reason. And they won't accept the election results when a Republican wins. But if a Democrat wins, we're supposed to, again, with that blind fealty, accept what the government tells us. And again, I think a lot of people know, I'm not saying Joe Biden is not the legitimate president. Joe Biden won the election. Joe Biden's our president. But the way Joe Biden won was because he benefited from a system that, like you mentioned, was rigged by unelected officials.
And now we need to make sure the RNC stays on top. And I want to thank you for your time. And you mentioned your editor-in-chief, Molly Hemingway. While we've got the leftists shouting out, we need to worry about Trump, he's going to destroy our democracy. She stated, allowing all of these things at the same time, that's an existential threat to our system of self-government. 26, it's your response.
She's absolutely right. They want to talk about a democracy. A democracy is when voters vote in their elected officials in the legislature who then make policies and create those policies.
And they're going to maximize what they can. Brianna Lena, yep. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll have her again. Coming up, before we wrap up today's program, Joy Reid finding a way to play the race card, reference of Baltimore tragedy, and then the push to molest your children.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China have been asking me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire Moving. com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We already know that we have people that are trying to prey upon your children. Some of them openly and physically preying upon children. And, of course, we have some of the most recent events involving big-name pop stars, and I'm not even going to bother giving them the credit with the name attached. And, of course, they're just charged. They're not convicted, so we need to keep that in mind. You know who I'm talking about. But aside from that, we also know how they're preying upon your children in their minds and the parents of children, suggesting that, well, if you don't understand that your boy named Tommy really has decided at 8 years of age he is a girl and he wants to go around being called Tommy with an I and Tony maybe. And if you don't go along with it, well, you might push this child down the road to suicide. Now, that's frightening for parents. They don't want to have anything to do with something like that that could lead to their child's death. And so they're kind of caught in a bind in the sense that, well, I want to do what's best for my child, but let me stress to you, it is not best in your child's interest to push them farther down that same road. If they are truly confused, then give them some time with proper counseling to work through it. Most of the times, it may come a little bit later, closer to puberty, but now some of it happens earlier. And to that extent, you're going to find many cases where children are being indoctrinated by teachers, by others that you assume are doing the right thing by them, and yet at the same time, they're trying to reshape your child's mind to then reshape their body. There was a 53-year-old Princeton grad, LGBTQ activist, who led queer alumni at Princeton. Now he's charged with possession of child porn. New Jersey police say they found numerous depictions of child sexual abuse in his home. Now, that does not mean, again, you cannot jump to the conclusion, well, he must be guilty. You just can't do that. But what you can do is begin to ask questions about what's happening at my kid's school. This is why now we have an interest, something in front of us where we're worried about what's going on inside those classrooms. We have now arranged and understood that because of these Zoom cameras, when they were doing Zoom learning, One, they probably weren't learning anyway, and two, they were not being given an education. They were being given an indoctrination. And there's a big difference. I mean, they're treating our kids like maybe they're members of the Khmer Rouge, grabbing up people after the fall of Vietnam and taking them and educating, indoctrinating, where you follow the communist values and push for them all the time. I think our children right now are the greatest asset we have. They are. Forget your money, forget anything else you earn, whatever your position is in power, but your kids and your family's kids that other members of your family have, and your neighbor's kids, kids in general. Now, obviously, they reach a certain age, they think they know everything and more so. I mean, what teenager doesn't think at some point, I know more than dad or mom? They don't know anything. We've all been down that road. And some go off to college or they go off to military or just experience down the road. They realize, you know, mom and dad were right. They were right. Everything from they know nothing to now, before I make a decision on this, I need to ask one of them for their advice. That's a far step for many people to go. We have coming up, obviously, tomorrow will be Good Friday. And Good Friday marks Jesus' death and crucifixion upon the cross. And then, of course, following that by Easter Sunday, his resurrection. But Easter has become a mishmash of Easter eggs and so forth, and bunny rabbits. My kids went through that too. I didn't take them away from that activity, but I also want to make sure they knew the real story. I'm afraid too many are just going to be pushed down the road that all of this is about is candy, finding Easter eggs, and Easter bunnies. At some point, you hope they'll come around to realization. You need to know something. This the CDC has been reporting, and it's actually, I'm going to have to get one of my sponsors, Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental, at some point to come on board and discuss this. They are suggesting deadly bacteria in drinking water systems all across the nation, causing an alarming increase in outbreaks and deaths. This is, again, a new report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, I agree, we've lost a lot of faith with the CDC, especially during COVID, and other things that they try to push up on you right now. You don't know who to trust anymore, and that's a shame, because they used to be, like the FBI, the top integral unit of our medical care. Right now, you have to worry how much is propaganda. But what they've been doing between 2015 and 2020, finding more cases of Legionella. Now, that probably gives you a clue to where this story has some orientation and maybe not necessarily the original aspect of it, but where it took on heightened interest. Legionella-associated outbreaks are the leading cause of water-related outbreaks, hospitalizations, and deaths throughout the nation, according to the CDC. Legionella is a type of bacteria that can form hazardous biofilms responsible for creating the potentially fatal Legionnaire's disease, which is a severe form of pneumonia. Between 2015 and 2020, Legionella was a bacteria most implicated in outbreaks associated with public water systems, causing 92% of such outbreaks. And Legionella then was responsible for 98% of waterborne deaths. Those who got it through water, 98% deaths were attributed to Legionella. There have been numerous outbreaks over the years, and numerous ones where folks were sickened in the hospital, in and out, never could get over it. And they're pointing out these waterborne pathogens, including Legionella, because there's more than one, sickened more than 7 million Americans, 118,000 requiring hospitalization, and as I said, 6,600 leading to death. And the care, the burden of the waterborne disease is something like $3 billion in direct health care costs. Now, again, most of you probably recall where the name came from, and that was when it was occurring at a Legionnaires' convention, and they had numerous people come down sick and several die from it. And then they realized some of the water supply system had been tainted. They're also trying to say that temporary housing created additional issues. And, of course, hotels, motels, lodges, and inns also would involve that. They do also acknowledge that water suppliers and municipalities need to closely examine plumbing systems to ensure their safety. That should be an understatement that should be proclaimed all the time. But the more we spend our budget and money on foreign countries and foreign aid for them, and we're helping illegals come into this country, also bringing diseases that we thought we had battled to a stop, then we're not going to see money and resources put where maybe you would find most of your diseases on a daily basis. Tap water. Many communities have a very good quality program. They have a good job of maintaining it, and some not so much. All right, so back to the issue with the Baltimore Bridge crashing down. Joy Reid went on a rampage to play the race card last night. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The most idiotic and racist theories had to do with their newest boogeyman, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. A Republican congressional candidate in Florida tweeted that DEI did this. And a right-wing blue check account that's been boosted by Elon Musk in the past just blew straight past the dog whistling, tweeting to its 276,000 followers, quote, Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's going to get so much worse. Prepare accordingly.
Prepare accordingly because that bridge collapse had something to do with DEI. Now, Forbes magazine also picked up on this to some extent and made note that the Baltimore Bridge collapse blamed on DEI as the attack on DEI continues. You have to understand, and again, I've been researching different things about the congressman that she's referring to that wrote a tweet that said, blame DEI. And one news source is pointing out that the reason some of them are jumping in that it's just, again, politically trolling that they're the ones who started the racism, or at least the guy who put this message out. I've yet to see something directly from the congressman that put that tweet out explaining why he chose to make that statement. Obviously, if he's talking about the crew, well, it was an Asian ship, India registry. So I don't know what their conditions were for someone running it, but obviously it's not just running it but operating it. But the point being made by Joy Reid is that the mayor of Baltimore is black and trying to say because he's a DEI mayor, then this happened. You cannot state that. That's stupidity for anyone who made such a statement. But unfortunately, then you give fodder to those who want to play the race card and shove it back in your face and create more division. Joy Reid.
The Post included a clip of Baltimore's black mayor, Brandon Scott. I cannot believe I have to say this. Brandon Scott was elected with 70% of the vote in 2020 in a city that is 61% black. So by right-wing logic, a diversity hire would have been a white man, which of course is what they want. Only the white Christian men may have the things. And at this point, it's evident what they mean by DEI, right? Okay, it means black people. It's the reason the right complained about critical race theory. It's not fashionable to be openly racist anymore in America, unlike what they call the good old days. So referring to a black mayor as a DEI mayor gets the point across, right? So fellas, why not just say what you mean? You can't stand black people. We get it. You've been heard.
No, you have not been heard. Enjoy, read, misinterpreted whatever you did here. DEI is not just about race. Joy Reid, you know that. Diversity, right? Not just race. Equity, again, not just race. Inclusiveness, everyone, unless you disagree with us. The Florida congressman, congressional candidate, had put this out. He's a candidate. He's not a congressman at this point. Sabatini, declaring DEI did this. And then you've got a Utah congressman, Lyman, a GOP gubernatorial candidate in his state, taking aim at the Maryland Port Commissioner, trying to put some kind of blame on her. She is the first black woman to hold the title. And he added, this is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens. They're both wrong. They're wrong. Joy Reid's wrong. This is a tragic event. It had nothing to do that we could see had anything to do with DEI. And if you're going to boil it down to Reid's approach, well, it's only because you hate black people, then Joy Reid, you're missing. You're missing supposedly what DEI is involving. Diversity means more than just black. You think it's all about you, Joy Reid, and being black? Diversity, equity, inclusion. It is a disease across the nation, clearly. But we've got to look at it realistically. I don't like it, but we have to look at it realistically. Coming up, I want you to hear an interview that CBS 60 Minutes did on was the last election stolen or not stolen? That's in the next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.